It's too hard to get it in because you're misbehaving. Everyone else is misbehaving.
No. I wrote a little sick. It'll be fine. What have you been up to?
Working. What I'm always up to. Working. We have a South by Sam Bass this week. And so it's supposed to rain like really bad. So we might end up playing in a garage or something. I don't know.
That would suck. This will be out after that. So we'll find out all the goodies about it next week. No, we won't. Yes,
but,
we will.
Okay.
But
there is a QR barcode
that you can use.
QR barcode for Meals on Wheels will still take donations.
Oh, I like it. I did not know that.
If you're unable to attend or you just, you know, too good to hang with us, that's okay. Just send us your money. Use the barcode on Sound Pollution Podcast or any of at the Uncle Brent places.
Awesome. I think I've shared it once. I'll share it again probably tomorrow.
So the other thing going on this weekend is Julia and I are having our 11th wedding anniversary.
Oh my God. Congratulations. 11.
I know this is the farthest.
God, she's put up with you for so long.
This is the farthest I've gotten ever.
Really?
With anybody. Well, except for my parents, but they don't count.
Awesome. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations. Look at you.
I know.
And you still like each other. That's amazing.
I love her very much. Now, if I could grow up, we might have something going on.
No, because whatever you guys are doing is working. Don't change a thing. Just let it be what it is, man.
Lean in to your childhood.
She totally compliments you, and you totally compliment her, and you've made beautiful just leave it. Don't fix it if it ain't broken. You know what I'm saying? All right. Congratulations.
So, big deal. And
it
also
is a big deal.
We got the truck and the car seen by the mechanic.
Look at you.
And we're going to have to dole out some money for the truck, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. It's not a transmission, thank God.
Thank God. Oh, I was really feeling your pain last week. I was like, no, don't be the transmission. That's worth more than the truck. Anyway, I have no updates. My daughter's graduating. Everybody wants to know what the plan is. I don't have a plan because by the time I have a chance to not do something, I have no motivation and I just stare at a screen. It doesn't matter what screen it is, and I fully disassociate. And
that just makes me happy inside.
That I disassociate?
Yeah.
I'm glad that makes someone happy. It's not doing shit for me.
Well, then you're not doing it hard enough.
I gotta disassociate better. gotta make those fantasies seem real.
You gotta do it with all your little might.
I don't care if you believe me.
All right, so we have Tim, Steven, and Wally. Is that accurate? Tim, do you play flute?
I play the bass guitar. I don't even own a flute, but I do have a bunch of instruments.
You got a nice one on that wall.
That middle one's Chet Atkins sold that to my father back in 61. One of the first year Gibson Hummingbirds that they started making. So it stays on the wall. So
yeah.
And Chet Atkins played it. Oh my God.
He sold that thing brand new to my father. My father traded some other kind of Birdland Gibson that's worth a lot more than that one is now back to him at one of those guitar shops downtown. So downtown Memphis. So, that's pretty neat story.
That is cool. So, Wally, you're a guitarist, right?
Yeah, I'm the main songwriter, and I play guitar. Steve's a guitar player, too.
We are guitar heavy.
Well, that should make you happy, Brent.
I enjoyed listening to the music, I'll be honest with you.
I know you did. All right, guys. Well, gentlemen, welcome back to the Sound Pollution Podcast. I haven't spoken to you guys since 2021, and it was episode 29.
It's almost as good as 69.
Shut up, Brent. And this will be up in probably a few weeks, and it'll be either 175 or 176. So that's a trip. I want to introduce you to my co-host who wasn't on the show last time. You've already talked to him a little bit. That is Brent, who no doubt who has a very cool intro for you.
Y'all guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. This artist stretches across the borders of Memphis, Tennessee, Mississippi, and many other states, as I found out before we started recording, because Ronell did not hit the recording button until later on.
Fuck you.
Their sound is fashioned from a guitar-driven blues and a touch of Southern gospel, providing the vocals a solid foundation to share the message. You might say this band has a great curve appeal. Please welcome the Lizard Kings.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
That's great.
So what have y'all been up to in the last 3 years?
Surviving.
Fair. Fair.
It was COVID we're on last time, and a lot's happened.
When we interviewed, we just had the Lost in Paradise CD, correct?
Right.
Okay, so it must have been right there when Jim Crow's Shadow just...
Yes, it was exactly when Jim Crow's Shadows came out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we did the recording in February of 2020. We just finished it up the first week in March. And so after the production, everything.
It was released in September 21, and it just been released when we did the podcast.
That's right.
So I was actually able to read stuff about y'all online, and y'all have been around for a while. So it says in the article that there were multiple versions of this band. So can you go into it a little bit about maybe not necessarily you know, about the whole history, but how do you go about bringing someone in after you lose a key member? Can you talk a little bit about that?
We just have to, they have to learn the songs and have to work them in. You know, that's what it was with Tim. That's what it was with Steve. I'm pretty much the only original member there is left, you know.
Yeah, we have a new drummer since Jim Crow's Shadow.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't able to make it tonight.
That's okay. Tell, how did he get started? When did you bring him on?
Last fall,
yeah.
Dwayne decided he didn't have time to continue on. We were getting busier.
Mm-hmm.
And so wanted to bow out and gave us a chance to find somebody else. Yeah, we were very lucky. We had one drummer come in for rehearsal. And then we had Justin come in, and he fell right in, and he's been going strong ever since.
Nice.
So he's a good player, and he's not an a-hole.
No, he's good people for sure. You know, it worked out really good. Of course, me and him are the rhythm, so hey, you know, mm-hmm. that part's important.
So
but it's Wally's music. It's Wally. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of that feel, everybody else. That makes it easier. Oh, that's Wally choking, by the way, too. Just let everybody
know. I don't know. I've been writing songs since I was about 12. I guess it's what I do best, you know. And I'm real fortunate to have a band that'll play my stuff, I guess, you know. And, I really
love it, Wally. Mm-hmm. Love it, Wally.
What's your songwriting process like, Wally?
Different with every song, pretty much. Sometimes I come up with a melody and a lyric together. Sometimes I come up with a chord progression and put a melody and a lyric to it. Sometimes I come up with a melody and a... It's just different with every song, you know?
That's what Brent says, really, too. You know,
well, sometimes it changes, you know, it gets shaped.
When he brings a song to the group, how do you guys go about learning it and changing it? Is it easy for you guys at this point? Is there like a way that you go about it like democratically?
No, I think Wally's right. I think it just sort of falls into places sometimes, and it's different with every song.
Yeah, other than me, Wally doesn't really tell anybody what to play, but he'll tell the drummer and Tim, you know, what kind of feel, if he wants a shuffle or, you know, what kind of, you know, what feel he wants to the rhythm. And then some songs, he has guitar parts that he wants me to play that are very specific. Mm-hmm. And then at other times, you know, most of the time it's pretty open. And then he hasn't really gotten on to me of anything that I've changed or opted to play something different, you know, but I try to add something to it rather than just, you know, follow along with whatever Wally's doing, you know.
Brent, you raised your hand.
He answered my question because that's what I was going to ask. How much are you involved in the songwriting process versus the arrangement? He kind of answered that. So pretty much what he said was Wally has an idea, and sometimes he says, go, be free. And then other times he's like, whoa.
This didn't sound like I wanted it to.
You so know, let's talk about a little. Go ahead, Brent.
I was going to say something.
But, no, you know, that's fine. Go ahead, honey.
I was going to say, sometimes when I write, it doesn't sound good either, but usually I'm the problem. So there you go.
Oh, man. No, you're the solution. You just have to find it.
Oh, doesn't that sound like something you just said to me before we went on air?
No, I didn't say that. I wouldn't be that positive. Mine's dark.
Yours was just annoy them until they give in.
There's nothing. Yeah, just break their will. You know, that's...
What's so interesting is the songs, the way they change, they you know, they evolve a little bit. Anytime you change out a piece of the band, and Wally's seen it through a bunch of iterations, but I know the few iterations that I've seen, every different player changes the band, so it's not like we're exactly going in there and playing covers of whatever the band was before.
I wanted to ask you guys a little bit more about your release. Are you going to call this an album? Is this going to be an EP? How are you doing this?
It's a single. It's a two-song single.
Okay. And how long did you work on it?
Well, I wrote the songs probably 20 years ago, and we've been playing them for pretty much ever since we've been a band, when I put the band back together. And probably 15 years ago, I recorded an album that had the same songs on it, but the album doesn't sound good because the master that I had that Eddie DeGatt at the record label sent off to be printed wasn't the right one. It wasn't even a final mix. He made a mistake, then the recording studio caught fire and burned down, and so everything was lost.
No shit.
Yeah, so... they just didn't sound that good, you know, so I decided to re-record them.
So this is like reimagination or a re-recording of songs that were lost then?
Yeah, well, they weren't lost, they're on a CD, but I mean, the CD is available, but it just doesn't sound good, you know.
Look, Wally, I kind of love you, man. He's like, look, it just doesn't sound good, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had to do that again. So what was the recording process like? Did you guys all go to the same studio? Did you just send stuff back and forth? Because there's so many ways to do that now.
Well, it was a play. It was a play live. We went in there and did all the instruments live and did the songs one evening. And then I stayed and did the lead parts on the two songs that evening before I left. And then Charles came in the next day and did the vocals. Wally did some scratch vocals while we were you know, running through the songs and getting the recording. So it's basically play live with the lead overdubs and vocals.
Oh, would you like to jump into My Reluctant Valentine then?
We can.
Why don't you start that off, Brent?
All right. So this song has an interesting bass line, but it also has a Beatles feel to it. Has a great lift in the chorus. The backing vocals make it pop. I think without the backing vocals and the harmonies, it just wouldn't be the same song. So I have two questions, but I'm going to stick with the guitar one because I love guitar. So what effect was used during the guitar solo? Because I thought I heard an octave pedal or something.
No, it was actually double lead.
Harmony lead.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know if Lolly used any effects. I didn't use any effects at all. It was amp, guitar, out. The amp had tremolo on it, so tremolo was running. But I don't think I had it on during the lead, but I can't swear one way or another. I think I turned it off for the lead.
I think that's the
lead.
What?
I think that's the double lead he's hearing.
Yeah.
It's like an effect, but it's awesome. And it's awesome live, too.
Yeah, no, it sounded great. I was like, because the guitars sound a little bit different. So I was like, this could be one guy, but he has to have some type of effect going on. Because I don't know if y'all agree with this, but the way guys play, you can hear it in their fingers when they're playing. Just depends on who they are, their influences and stuff. But yeah, I really enjoyed the solo in that one. I thought it was really good.
Thanks.
There's also, if you listen closely, it's hard to hear. There are two harmony guitar parts on the rhythm section through the verses.
Brent, why don't you go ahead and ask that second question?
Okay. So this song is like, it totally changed when I was listening to it, when I heard the harmony parts. And so my question is it sounds like Wally probably writes the melody, but how does Charles figure out what he wants the harmony vocals to sound like? Does he have a decision? Does Wally just go, this is how I want you to do it? How does that, the backups, how are those set up? How do y'all do that? How do you decide?
Well, basically Wally knows it's in the key that he does it in and how he did it before. So I just, basically, all I did was I harmonized with him because he had already had a melody line and of how the chorus was supposed to go, and I harmonized with him, sort of give it that feel.
Chocolates have never won your heart. Your lips never speak my name. My reluctant Valentine, what can I do to make you mine? I've waited for you for a touch, then left me standing in the cold. When Cupid shot his arrow, it never reached your heart. And now I'm such a lonely soul. My reluctant Valentine, what can I do to make you mine? I've waited for you all of my life. So be my reluctant Valentine. Do to make you mine. I'm waiting.
you guys describe your sound to somebody who had never heard you before?
I'd say blues, bass, rock with maybe a pop. Some of it's got kind of a pop feel, and it's what we...
I call it eclectic rock.
There we go. I like that.
A lot of the songs could go in different... Well, he has songs that could go in different little pockets, but yeah, it's pretty much blues, bass, rock, other than a few outliers, you know.
The songs on the single really aren't really blues, bass, but most of the stuff is.
What is your favorite part about working with each other?
Our friendship. We're all good friends. We all get along real well.
Except for Tim, because Tim ran away to Mississippi.
I did. I've lived down there since Wally hooked up with me. So I've been playing with him ever since. So,
what's a live show like for the Lizard Kings?
The live show's better than the records.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I put on a show when we play.
Charles is just one of the best front man there he is. He puts on the show, and I jump around a lot, but that's about it, you know. But Charles keeps you locked in, you know.
Charles has a background in theater, and he's a real good stage performer.
So let's talk about the second song. Let's talk about My Heart Belongs to You.
This is a good old-fashioned love song that features the guitar and vocals. Nice intro guitar riff. Smooth vocal transition from the lower to higher registers in the chorus. And I think a little bit before the chorus, too. I love the guitar solo. So my question is, how do you approach laying down the guitar tracks in the studio? You may have already answered that, but that's kind of my question. And if you could focus on, if you can remember when you're cutting the tracks for this song, what was that like?
We did all the rhythm parts play live, and once we got a good take on that everybody was happy with, that was the second song we did, so that was the end. And then everybody packed up, and I did the lead, my part on Reluctant Valentine, and Wally actually came back and did the harmony part the next day, but it's the same harmony part that we play at every show. And then I played the My Heart Belongs to You, played the lead in the, it's really two sections. It's the lead section, and then when Charles comes back in, it's an outro section. So I recorded the lead section, and then went and did the outro section as a separate part. Even though when you listen to the song, it sounds almost like there's no break in it because it just runs straight into the outro, you know, from the lead. I played a different part on that every night we play it, so... I actually played a lead that I'd never played on there in an outro before, and we'll never play it again. I imagine, you know, there's some ideas I might pick up, but.
And he did it all in one take.
Brent hates you for that.
Hey, and that's Wally's favorite song.
I see Brent's face. He's like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I was going to ask how many times you had to do it.
I actually did the lead part once, and then the outro, I did two different rounds of the outro, and he just picked one. The only thing that was overdubbed on top of that is if you listen, the very last note on the lead section, I went back and overdubbed that one note. So that was not totally, you know, without an overdub, but yeah. But yeah, just basically played it, and it was actually guitar straight into an amp with no effects or anything. That was all amp guitar sounds.
Sounded good. I liked the tone a lot.
Wally, who do you write that song for? Because that was a very love song. It's very romantic.
I really don't, when I write songs, I really don't just write them for, they're usually just an idea I have that I think would be a nice song, you know. I really didn't write it for anybody. I just.
Good cover, man. Good cover.
Yeah.
So in that song, you do a lot of transition from your lower register to your higher register. And so my question was, how did you go about developing that skill?
I don't know how to answer that. Actually, it's just when you're there, and then in the moment, it just happens. And then after I do it once or twice, it's like muscle memory after that.
Man, I hate y'all guys. Y'all guys just come by naturally.
I didn't think it was a special skill. It's just.
Oh, it's special. You ought to hear me try to do something like that. It sounds like pigs dying. It's absolutely
like slaughter day.
Law enforcement would come by and shut me down if they heard me trying to do that stuff. Nah, man, I really enjoyed the and even the things I went on and saw online, because I tried to find y'all on YouTube and I found some live videos that were good, but I couldn't really hear everything because it was live and it's probably done on someone's phone. But then I saw the Jim Crow video and that was a good one. I thought Charles kind of scared me. I was like, he was looking at me. He was like real close to the camera sometimes. I was like, oh my gosh, is he in this room with me? But that y'all have some good stuff out there. And I'm so glad that y'all guys, you know, are sticking with it and continually trying to release some music, because it's just hard to keep doing sometimes, with everything you have going on in your life or your friends' lives, you know. So I appreciate y'all guys doing that, and thank y'all for sharing the music with me and with Ronell, because this is the kind of thing that I actually live for, is hearing from people I haven't heard of, and just listening to their stuff and figuring out what they do, and then trying to figure out how they did it, you know. And if it comes natural, we all hate them, but you know, it's awesome.
The love-hate relationship.
Well, you know, something you were asking about earlier is how do we like doing this? You know, it's so much fun to be in a band that's not a cover band, that, you know, you have original music to work with, that you have more of an influence on how the music sounds when you play it live. You know, a lot of the songs that are recorded, you know, some of them sound similar to that, and some of them sound, you know, get further afield, you know, the further along you get, they've evolved to other things. It's been a lot of fun for me. Just not, you know, you get to a certain age and, you know, you might have played a bunch of covers you always wanted to play, but after a while, you know, it gets to where it's not quite as fun, you know, to keep playing the same covers over and over, you know, especially for people like us that may have been playing some of these cover songs, you know, for 40, 50 years, you know, or longer.
Well, you could have left out the "and longer" part. No one needed to know that.
Yeah, well, you got to tell Wally's age, you know.
We're just throwing Wally under the bus.
That's right. He's used to it. He likes it.
I want to say, too, that most of our live videos are terrible. If anybody goes on YouTube and looks at them.
It's probably because they were recorded on someone's phone.
We have a couple of good videos, but it'd be hard to come across. It's a shame. We have some video that needs to be put up. It's just a matter of getting it edited out and put it up.
Do you guys have any upcoming shows? Are you planning on doing any touring this summer?
Okay, so I don't know if I should, really should say this, but Charles is having health issues.
Oh.
We're working in a new singer. Her name's Miss Nikki. And we're kind of waiting until we get her worked in before we play again. And our next show is April 13th at Reds in Coldwater, Mississippi. And then we're playing 3 or 4 dates in April. And then on May 30th, we're opening for D.K. Harrell. I know you heard of him. He's a big blues guy. We're opening for him at Westman Pacific Auditorium.
Wow, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Great venue.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, we are. That'll be real good.
Is that going to be the first big gig that you guys have had since COVID?
Yeah.
COVID sucked. And it's still out there. I got COVID in November, and I'm still struggling from it.
Man.
Yeah, it took a long time to get started back up. You know, it's funny. Once you get rolling again, then people see your name out and about that you're playing places. It makes it a lot easier to pick up gigs, because if you're, you know, it's funny, those owners, if they don't see your name out and about floating around playing other places, they're like, well, where have you been playing? And you go, I haven't played anywhere. It's been COVID, you know, and nobody wants to. Yeah. So
we're starting to pick up, though.
We're going to be at a festival, Auto Fest, in April also.
April 27th.
Awesome.
Memphis.
It's a small local festival here.
Hey, where can people find y'all's music?
On Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Amazon, most places where people find music, they can find it.
Well, do you have a social media? I know you guys are on Facebook. Are you anywhere else?
Just on Facebook.
Just on Facebook. Okay.
And it's a Lizard King, Lizard with 2 Z's.
Lizard with 2 Z's.
L-I-Z-Z-A-R-D King.
Hush falls upon the crowd. Those interviews with a lot of people are really challenging. Because I don't get to be, an entire smartass like I want to be.
No, it's really hard for you, isn't it?
It
hard
is
for you to reel in your sarcasm, Brent.
I have very unimportant stuff to say, and no one hears it.
Well, I'm so sorry for you.
I can see your tiny violin. So I have a Mabel story to tell you.
What is it?
So lately we've been really working on Mabel, you know, as far as taking a bath and how there's a way you take your bath. You don't, because if you wash your hair in the tub and then you wash your body in the tub and you soak your hair in the water, then you're just, you know, stewing in your own, in your dirt.
I think the so second, like, you wash yourself at all in the bathtub, you're stewing in your own dirt. Yeah. It doesn't matter what part. Yeah. But anyway, I get what you're saying.
That's why you
there's
need
a method. There's a method to the madness.
So I was telling her, look, you have to do it the hard way. If you do it the hard way, you have to take a shower, take a bath, and then take another shower. I was like, if you do it this way, it's easier. And so the other day, I'm getting her ready, and I was like, okay, are you good? Are you good? She goes, yeah, I'm good. So I just head out, go to the kitchen or wherever I was going. And then she goes, Dad. And I came back and said, yeah, what's up? What's going on? She goes, can I do it the hard way?
She wants to do whatever she wants to do whenever she wants to do it.
I told her, sure. You're on spring break. Whatever.
Is it already spring break for y'all?
Yeah.
Just please remember to like, follow, subscribe, and I hate him. Download. Please share us, especially if TikTok goes away. I'm losing a whole platform to share episodes with you. So please go to our Instagram. Please go to our Threads. Please go to our Facebook.
Please show up at our house.
Well, not that, but
our companies.
You know,
pay our bills.
I mean, well, you can come to where I wait tables and tip me good, but that's also kind of weird for me. Let's not do that. And I lost track because you fucked with me.
Remember to download.
Oh yeah. So yeah.
Share, friend us, love us, need us.
But please, if you're a TikTok subscriber, please go to our Instagram. The link is below. Please go to our Facebook. Please go to our Threads. I absolutely refuse to do Twitter. And you'll see that Facebook keeps muting any music we put on it right now. So I've kind of stopped posting things with music on it. But we are still there. We are still listening. You can slip into our DMs if you would like to be on the show. Please say something other than info, please. Like, send a song. Because I've received a couple of those. And I'm like, see. I think that's it.
All right. Remember to.
May.
Ha 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 ha.